It has been said that there is only one way out of this life, and that is by a one-way ticket, death. The strange thing is that the ticket is purchased at birth and is good for an unknown time along the path of life. Someone once put it this way: at birth, we begin the process of dying. Or to put it in another way, we are born to die. Now, all this sounds kind of morbid, especially on Easter Sunday. But the truth is, death is an integral part of life. We live with it throughout our lives. You know, I can remember back a good many years. Sometimes they say, well, the older you get, the more you remember from years gone by, but forget yesterday. I can remember my first experience with death. And that was with our beloved dog, Spotty. He was full of life one moment and hit by a car, which left him lifeless or dead. We buried Spotty in the garden next to the house, and I can remember that. I was about 4 at that time. And the first human death I experienced was the almost sudden death of my grandmother, who lived next door. So while I was still very young, I became acquainted with the fact of death. And I guess everyone here can relate to this and have similar stories. Although we try to ignore it, life has its cycle from birth to death, just as we experience it with the seasons. The reality is that death is a part of life cycle, whether we choose to acknowledge it or not. It is an ever-present fact in life, which is most often fraught with fear and sadness. But you know, into this reality of life comes God's message of another reality of life. It came in the form of the birth of a baby some 2,000 years ago. The birth was special, for in this birth, God became man. His name was Jesus. This meant that the Son of God became man, being in the form of mankind. He was also born to die. The reality was that this Jesus at one point or another had to die, or else the incarnation would not be valid. Like us, he had to experience the death of his human body. Now, the disciples understood this reality and understood that even though Jesus may have been a prophet, or maybe even the political Messiah, they saw him as a human being and therefore knew he eventually had to succumb to death. Perhaps this is why they interpreted Jesus' message about the kingdom of God as the new kingdom of Israel, that earthly kingdom. They could not imagine his divinity. This is why they thought Jesus to suppress, this is why they thought Jesus to be the traditional Messiah, who would answer the human needs of the suppressed Jewish people. This is why they saw Jesus as the Messiah, who would apply human solutions to human problems. They therefore knew that someday they would have to deal with his human death. This is why when Jesus told his disciples about his coming suffering and death, Peter said, "God forbid it, Lord. That must never happen to you." He could not perceive the divine Jesus who would conquer death. And on the third day, be raised. That was way beyond the human experience of death. And that is all that Peter and the other disciples could understand at that moment. Human death as the end of life. Thus, for his disciples and followers, Jesus' death would only happen long after he was victorious in establishing the new kingdom of Israel. At least that's what they had hoped. Death was not an immediate concern of his followers upon their entrance into Jerusalem, for they had that outstanding parade. No, there was a lot of living to do, a lot to accomplish and establish before any thought of death. But the reality was and is that death is not concerned with the appropriate time or what has or has not been completed. That's a concern of life. Therefore, in his followers' mind, the tragic death of Jesus was far too soon, ill-timed, and devastating for all Jews. It happened, though, leaving the band of men and women who loved and followed him to do their human thing, mourn his death. It left them trying to pick up the pieces in their lives and trying to live with their loss. And a part of this mourning process was to properly prepare the dead body for its eternal sleep. Now, this was usually left up to the women. And since Jesus died late on the day before the Sabbath, they barely had time to place him in the tomb before sundown for the Sabbath. This left no time to properly anoint and wrap the body. Therefore, at the crack of dawn, the day after the Sabbath, the women in Jesus' life came to the tomb to bring some kind of closure to their mourning by properly preparing his dead body. Little did they realize the dramatic event which was about to occur. They didn't realize this event would change their lives and the life of mankind throughout history. They had no idea. They were clueless that they would suddenly see Jesus and his message in a different way. All they knew when they found the empty tomb was that someone had stolen their friend's body. They must have thought, when is this tragedy going to end? Now there would be no closure. They had experienced the inevitability of life. But the story didn't end with the sudden loss of a loved one. God had the most unexpected surprise for them. The roller coaster ride of the past week with the dramatic emotion highs and lows would suddenly change again. The totally unexpected happened. And Luke relates that two men in dazzling clothes, presumed to be angels, suddenly stood among them. They then gave the astonishing message. Why? Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Now the women must have thought to themselves, risen? But we had seen his dead body. How can this be? And the angels continued. Remember? Think back. how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again. Do you remember that? With that, they remembered, and suddenly the mourning turned into joy. What a dramatic scene. Not wasting any time with this good news, they went and told his disciples. Now, it must be understood that disciples still didn't understand the nature of the incarnation. They still only saw the humanity of Jesus and thus only understood the finality of death. Therefore, they took the woman's words about what they were told as mere wishful thinking, idle talk on their part. But Peter, though, had to see for himself. And he went and found the tomb empty, with only the linen cloths remaining. We are told that he left in amazement, but uncertain as to what really had happened. It wasn't until later, when Jesus appeared among his disciples, that they finally began to understand the reality of the incarnation, the divine nature of Jesus. Jesus' humanity did die upon the cross, but his divinity lives on. One can safely say that the meaning of the Nativity Christmas can only be found through the cross and empty tomb. It can also be said that life and death can only be understood in terms of the empty tomb, the resurrected Christ. Now, the Easter message is that even though death is a reality of life, it has no power over life. Paul put it this way: death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, the joy of the resurrection message, he is risen, is the joy of knowing that even though death is a part of life, it need not overcome life. The resurrection tells us that through Christ, we are assured that life is the true victor. We are assured that life doesn't end upon death of our humanity, but begins anew in God's eternal kingdom of love. Yes, we can joyously celebrate he is risen, because we know death has been overcome and life for us is eternal. Today we celebrate that God became man in order to give us the victorious message. He is risen indeed. When all this is said and done, there is only one way out of this life, and that is by way of the empty tomb. This unexpected good news of the empty tomb gives us the freedom to face the trials, all of the trials of life, with a new hope. For regardless what happens, life continues, because God's love is there for us and forever. We are free. We are free to conquer the negatives which may surround us, and they do surround us, because there is new hope which cannot be overcome by any despair. That, my brothers and sisters, that is the joyous message of he is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.